Hi, I'm Stunning Stella Cheeks.
And I'm the Enigma Erin Klein.
And this is Not Your Demographic, a feminist wrestling podcast.
Shockingly, those exist.
Demis, welcome to the newly named WrestleMania Not Your Demographic.
That was a good one. I was not expecting that.
As you can tell, we're doing a Google Hangout. Sadly, Erin doesn't feel very well, but we put our personal health at risk for the enjoyment of you Demis. So Erin is still going to do it. We're just doing it over the interwebs.
Sorry if I'm a little low energy. I have a migraine. I am sitting in a very dark room right now trying not to look at light. So I'm trying. I'm here, but I'm trying.
It's helpful that you're staring at a computer screen full of light, I'm sure.
Oh, I've turned the brightness down to almost nothing, and it's literally just a black screen with your Google picture in it. Which is actually pretty helpful. I mean, rather than like a pulsing white light right now, for sure. That's what I was in my office when I started to get the migraine. And are you one of those people who gets migraines, or do you not get migraines, Stella?
I get migraines.
Okay. So, you know, how do you get the aura beforehand where the lights start to come in?
A little bit, yeah.
I get that really heavy, an hour and a half before I get a migraine, so I can usually catch them. But I was sitting at my desk looking at my very bright computer screen, and I was like, man, I'm having a real hard time reading all these words on this. Oh, God. And I had this revelation, oh, my God, I'm stuck in this office for an hour and I can't do anything about this migraine. So I just took a bunch of aspirin and was like, please go away. Please go away.
Yeah, I might also be a little low energy too. I had such a masochistic day. I woke up early. Oh. I got my vagina waxed. I got my eyebrows threaded. And then I got tattooed for 6 hours.
So you love pain is what you're saying.
Beauty is pain.
That's the truth. Beauty is pain.
It was my first time getting my eyebrows threaded too. And everyone's like, oh, it hurts. It hurts. And I'm like, yeah, but everything hurts. I mean, I'm getting my butthole waxed. It all hurts. But the threading hurt in a way that I wasn't expecting. It just was shocking. So my eyes really started watering. Not that I was crying, but my eyes were just oh, what's happening?
I mean, yeah, you're getting the space on your face above your eyes poked at.
My eyebrows look great. I've been growing them out for a month, so now I look so beautiful. And my tattoo is not finished, but all the fruit is done. Next time we're going to finish the bat.
All right.
Oh boy, my arm hurts because color sucks.
Yeah. How many different colors do you have too? I know it's not just one.
It's a bunch of different greens for the leaves and white and a couple purples for the plums and then some orangey brown reds for the dates. It's a lot going on.
Yeah, I can see how that would really fucking hurt.
And it's a cover-up, too. So the cover-up part, they go over again and again and again and again because they're literally covering up a tattoo. So my arm is pissed.
Well, I'm glad that we can both do this from the comfort of our own homes, at least.
Well, it's always in the comfort of my home. So.
Well, we can both be in the comfort of our own respective homes.
Do you happen to be wearing a wrestling something or other?
I do. I am wearing my Carmella hat because that bitch is going to lose at WrestleMania, and I've just accepted it.
Well, she said you can't believe everything you hear on the internet.
Yeah, well, I don't have high hopes. Once I realized that if she cashes in at Mania on the Charlotte-Asuka match, that Asuka can win without Charlotte losing, it seems kind of inevitable at this point. But, she has to cash in. She can't just let her thing expire because that's insane. And it would be such a stupid ending they already fucked up her winning the Money in the Bank briefcase in the first place. To then let it expire is just, the dumbest thing they could possibly do. But, it's not that weird to have somebody lose a contract now, even though we said before, she really shouldn't lose it. She shouldn't be the first person and lose it. But it kind of feels inevitable now.
Well, I don't know. Do you think they'll take away her new catchphrase, Mela is money, since they got rid of the moolah stuff?
Ooh. I don't know. I feel like they might almost want her to keep it just so they can be like, it's about Carmela. It was never about moolah.
It fits her character, so.
Yeah, it totally fits her character, and, like, give it to her. Just give it to her. Also, maybe you should strip Moolah of her title reign. Maybe that's a great way to get past having to outdo her streak. Just take it away. That's a good way to do it.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that bitch.
It's like they can't. It's like they don't realize that they control their own narrative unless they're using it to whitewash away women pimping out other women. I don't know. It's weird, right?
So weird. I am wearing my brand new bar shirt, but it's not their new bar shirt. They came out with a new one, which I don't know if I like better, but I was like, ugh, I already bought a bar shirt. And I cleaned out my closet this week and I got to fucking cool with the wrestling shirts. Cause it's like, if I took all my wrestling shirts out, I would have no clothes.
Right?
I got to cool that.
I totally understand. We're far enough yet close enough to our honeymoon that I have to like start thinking about what I want to wear on the honeymoon so that it doesn't get like stuck in the laundry cycle. So I like kind of have to be a little more cognizant about what I'm wearing. I was thinking about it and I was like, I'm literally just going to bring a bunch of fucking wrestling shirts with me. I don't even know why I'm pretending like I'm not. I'm definitely going to do that because it's such a huge part of my wardrobe.
Yeah, I really like this shirt though. And I wanted to get one of him and Cesaro before Sheamus has to retire. So
right, exactly.
Wampadam. Also, Wakanda Forever.
That was really funny.
It was really funny. Before we get started today, we have a really cool interview with the promoter and booker and producer and, I don't know, the everything of Kaiju Attack Wrestling, DDS. He, like we said a couple weeks ago, we went there for my birthday and I had such a good time, and they're a new local promotion and they were really inclusive and are doing interesting stuff, not just like indie wrestling. It was more of a theater wrestling experience, and it was really cool. So I wanted to have him on, and we chatted a little bit with him about the origins and the inclusivity and like what his goals are. And then he also talks about the upcoming show. So we're gonna tag that in up top, and then when you come back, we'll talk about, I don't know, Aaron, what do we usually talk about?
News. There'll be probably a news noise. And then after that, we'll probably talk about, listen, ding dong, everyone knows what we're going to talk about after this interview. Okay, so we'll see you on the other side.
Please welcome to the podcast, DDS.
Hi,
welcome.
Hey, hello. Good to be here.
So I found Kaiju just kind of through Twitter and having people kind of post it, local show, and it was so close and convenient that I thought, hey, why the hell not? And I had a really good time. Can you kind of just talk about the origin of Kaiju and kind of how it came about?
I used to run an old company just over 10 years ago called Midwestern States Pro Wrestling. And I got out of the wrestling business completely in 2007. And Mike Matthews dragged me back in about 4 years ago. And over the last couple of years, I was just kind of like, there's something missing. Like, there's just missed opportunities. There's just dumb booking. There's just promoters, like, just don't know what they're doing, basically. And it's not, going to point anybody out. I just saw there's people weren't doing enough to promote their product. So when I left Underground back in, this would have been February or March, I was kind of like, I think I'm going to start running my own stuff because I think it's time. And I kind of wanted to do something totally different than nobody else is doing in the scene, like, especially in this area. So I started like looking out for venues I could run, and then I started looking for like weird venues. Like, and one of the venues I found was Wire over in Berwyn. That's where we ended up having our first show. But I wanted something different. I wanted more interaction with the crowd. Our first few shows over at Wire, we don't have any seating, you know, except for like one little section. There's seating on one side, but we don't have seating around the ring. So people are actually standing around the ring. So it gets more involvement into each match because people aren't just sitting there bored. And then we found Den, which is another weird venue. And as the company's gone on, like, I always wanted to be like more progressive. I wanted to, you know, give women a chance if they were wrestling, you know, a guy, they have an equal chance to win a match against a guy. I wanted to be weird, over the top. We didn't plan on doing the monsters, actually. That didn't come about until about December. I had a lot of people ask about the monsters, if we would ever do a match like that. And I was like, you know what, let's do one. And it ended up being a big hit. So we've done the monsters now 2 shows in a row, and they're going to be back every month. So we just wanted something different. And then we started adding the bands in, and it's just kind of has grown. And, you know, we've been drawing well the last few shows, but the company itself has just kind of evolved as, and it's only a 7-month period or whatever, but it's really changed from where we started to where we are now.
You named it Kaiju Attack Wrestling before having monster battles?
Yep, absolutely. I'm a huge nerd when it comes to Kaiju. Huge Pacific Rim fan, been a Godzilla fan since I was a kid. So I wanted something different. I wanted a totally different name. I didn't want to go with, like, you know, Championship Wrestling based out of wherever. You know, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to do a different, weird name. So Kaiju Attack was what we went with. And of course, right away, people were like, you're ripping off Kaiju Big Battle. I was like, well, we're not doing the monsters. And we weren't going to do the monsters at all. And people still say that. They're like, oh, you're ripping them off. I'm like, we do one monster match a show, and it's 5 minutes long, and then it's over. We're not ripping them off or anything like that. It just gives something different. You know, they don't do 99% of the stuff we do, they don't do, and vice versa. So it's two different products, and it's, you know, it's totally different. But yeah, we weren't planning on monsters from the get-go.
And that's like saying too that if two companies have like wrestling in the title, that means they're the same thing. Like, that's not the same. Like, yeah. AEW and AAW are different companies, even though they have like similar things too.
Right. And I know they're not supremely happy with us because we named our company Kaiju, but I mean, yeah. I don't know what to tell them. So.
Well, I like that your company, you know, I've been to a lot of wrestling shows, both at like WWE and like local or smaller promotions. But just from the beginning of walking in, the vibe of Kaiju Attack was so different, like from the punk bands opening and in the center, which I brought a bunch of new people because it was my birthday. And I have a friend who's really into punk bands, and she had a blast with that. And it kept awesome. People entertained, and having there was like a good mix of, you know, serious matches that were building storylines, and silly matches with like lightsabers and kaiju monsters. And it really felt like a show with something for everybody.
Right. I don't really consider us a wrestling company per se, if that makes sense. Like, people are like, oh, there's a wrestling show. I'm like, well, it's, you know, that is what we are, but it's not what we are. In any weekend, there's 10 groups that run in Chicago minimum. And, you know, you can basically sum up each show. You go to the show, you sit in a chair, you watch the matches, you go home, you know, and that's what every show is. So I think variety show is probably more apt to what we're doing than an actual, you know, wrestling show. Yeah, it's heavy on wrestling, but it's got music. It's got the monsters. It has comedy. Like, it's just a bunch of weird things all going on at the same time.
I think it being in a theater space when you guys were at the Den Theater too really helped to add to the feel of it being a show, a theatrical experience that just happens to have wrestling in it, which was really cool.
Yeah, I love that venue. Like, both our venues are just really cool and interesting. Wire is, you know, it's a straight on music venue. And it's, you know, it's not like in the round seating like it is then. It's just, you know, it's a straight back like you were seeing at a concert. It's the same thing. You know, you're sitting watching a wrestling ring, and, you know, you can get up right against the ring and pound on the mat and everything like that. So they're both really unique environments for wrestling, and something that really nobody else is doing, which, you know, that was my whole thing. I didn't want to be like everybody else. I wanted to do something different, because why start another company and just do, you know, why be another freelance? Why be another Zalo? Why, you know, or, you know, all the other groups that are out there. I didn't want to do any of that stuff, because why would those people come to my shows? Especially when, God, our roster's so old. But, you know, our guys are all talented, but, you know, it's, you know, we have a lot of older guys on our show that are really good, but it's just, it's, you know, it's not, you can go see younger guys and do that if you wanted to. So we wanted to offer something different, weird.
Along that same lines, you're saying that the a lot of your roster is older, but you also talked about how you wanted to make it an environment where the women can compete in the same place. So going forward, do you have any goals goals for like inclusion or how you're going to build your roster? Or do you have specific ideas for the kind of people you want to be adding onto your roster and onto your shows later?
Well, I mean, we're definitely going to see like going forward, like the guy side of my roster is pretty set for now. I've got a nice, like I have my base guys who I've been working with, you know, forever, the guys that I really trust. That's the one thing about all the guys I book. I generally have to know you. I have to wrestle with you, or there has to be a really good vouching process, because I try not to just book guys based on a whim.
There was a lot of people on your show that I had either never seen or never heard of, and now I have a whole new set that I'm interested in watching. So it's another draw, being like, I can really only see a couple of these guys at this place, and I want to go to that place to see these people.
Right, and that was the whole point. Like, and guys like, and people like, you know, because a lot of wrestling fans are young. You know, they don't remember that Eric Priest was working, you know, dark matches for WWF back in the day, that Chandler McClure worked dark matches for WWF, that Justin Cage has worked for TNA, Impact, Mike Matthews is going to work for Impact. Like all these guys have done these things through their career, but it's been a while. And I think especially in the area, it seems like memories are really short. So people are like, oh yeah, you know, like that happened like 10 years ago. I'm like, well, come look at Eric Priest. That dude's 43 and he's in better shape than 99% of the guys in the area. You know,
yeah, he's got a lot of good dance moves too.
Yeah, he does. He works on his Magic Mike stuff, but I mean, it's offering guys that, like, yeah, you can't see them everywhere else, you know, because they're not guys that are going to go out and work every weekend. I mean, and a lot of times, like, I've had guys from, like, freelance contact me. They're like, hey, do you have any openings? I'm like, I don't really. And it's no offense to them because I think they're good wrestlers. But I'm like, if I'm going to start booking everybody that's at freelance, why are people from freelance going to come see me? You know what I mean? Like, so it's offering a different roster and being different, because it just, there's a lot of the rosters look exactly the same. Homogenization across the board. Everybody's, you know, books the same 5-6 guys. You know, Marche Rocket's awesome, but he's working everywhere in Chicago. So, you know, he doesn't fit into my group because I don't book necessarily, you know, hey, you're the top guy in the area. I don't book based on that. I book on, you're a good wrestler. Nobody else can see you here. Come on in, you know? So it's just, yeah, it's, but going forward, like you were saying, like, we're going to add Holodead. She's coming in May at our big show, and she's going to work with Lainey and Shotzi, which should be a really good women's match. Really good match, not just women's match. But going forward, like, we're looking at other women from the area. We want to try to definitely bring in different women, because a lot of the draw is good women wrestling, and I have no problem, you know, paying them what they ask for, because they're going to draw, you know, and I want to try to bring in women from different areas where, you know, they're not getting the exposure out here. You know, if there's girls that come in and they're on every Rise and every Shimmer show, they're great, and I'll still use them, but I want to try to find those little gems that not everybody's seeing everywhere.
Absolutely.
That's a good goal.
One thing that I really appreciated is the atmosphere of your show. You know, we're talking about inclusivity and things like that, but your MC skits did a great job at not only being an MC, but kind of, not that there was a rowdy crowd, but like kind of like crowd controlling when some people would get, you know, a little offensive. How did you bring him in?
And that's all on it. That's all Adam's call. You had to do that or anything like that. But I made it pretty clear from the beginning that this is a progressive organization. Like, we're progressive, you know, we're liberal. It doesn't mean all our wrestlers are, but what the tone we're going for is inclusivity. We don't want, you know, I don't want to hear people calling women, you know, the C word or anything like that. Or, you know, I don't want to hear, you know, calling people gay or anything like that. Like, I just don't want that. That's not what we're here to do. So, you know, and it's really weird, like, because if you look at like our roster and our shows versus the other group that runs in Berwyn on a regular basis, like, they're completely different, and it's fine. You know, they draw conservative fans. We draw more liberal fans, and it's to each their own. It's what you like, but this is what I wanted to go for, is everybody has, you know, an equal shot of winning a match. Doesn't mean if you're a man or a woman, and we just don't want to be assholes to each other. You know, yeah, heels are going to be assholes, but we don't want to be total assholes, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And it's a rarity, I feel like, in heel work. And I thought that your roster did a good job with that.
And I've always been a guy, like, because I've accidentally made kids cry before as a heel. And, you know, and some guys would be like, well, good, you did your job. And I'm like, yeah, maybe 30 years ago, that was the mindset. But I want that kid to come back. So I'm going to go apologize to that kid, you know, say, hey, I'm really a nice guy. Give him an 8x10, whatever. Get him to come back. I've been there where you scare a kid and they don't ever come back and they never want to come back. So, you know, and we're not dealing with kids now, but it's along those lines. We're like, everybody knows what we're doing. You know, it's not 30 years ago where people thought it was real. Everybody knows we're actors, we're performers. I'm not real big on kayfabe. You know, I don't care if our babies and our heels, you know, are kind of seen with each other. That doesn't really bother me anymore. It's just a different time, and it's kind of allowing each wrestler to grow, allowing people to meet, you know, the wrestlers, heel or female, realize they're playing a role and get to know them, and you'll come back and see them. If you know, yeah, you want to see me get beat up because I'm a heel, but you also know I'm a decent guy and I'm not gonna, you know, so you want to come see me either way. So
speaking about the future of Kaiju, you guys have a big show coming up on March 31st. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
I absolutely would. We have March 31st, and you'll have to excuse me because I am so tired because my newborn just came in last week. So I keep forgetting what show I'm on. And I actually, this time I started putting out the matches and I realized I hadn't booked everybody, or I had booked people, but forgot to put them in matches. I'm like, way off right now, but we're doing the Haters Ball is the name of the show, and it's at Wire and Berwyn. Tickets are on sale now. We are encouraging people, like, you don't have to do it, but we are encouraging people to dress up as a player hater from the Chappelle show, because that's the kind of vibe we're doing. That's the theme of our show. So we're hoping it's going to be ridiculous. I've already talked to some of the band members that are playing that show, and they're dressing up as haters and everything like that. We're hoping to get some wrestler participation, but we definitely want fans, you know, come in and, you know, do your hater thing and be, you know, and just be ridiculous. But we're going forward, and we didn't really get a chance to launch it before the Star Wars show, but getting more fan participation, like, hey, it's a Star Wars show, dress up, you know, bring Star Wars gear. Hey, it's a player hater show, do that. Our show in April is going to be Harry Potter themed, so bring your Harry Potter stuff. So
get my wand ready.
And that'll be back at the Den again in April. So.
Oh, so you are going to go or attempt to go back and forth between Berwyn and the Den?
Yeah. That's the goal. It's a little harder to get the Den farther out just because they're looking for groups to come in and be there, like, you know, for five, 6 days in a row or longer or something like that. Which, you know, we're only doing one show a month right now. But they're a good second home for us. But we definitely want to come back and do more work with them. Those tickets, actually, that April show will go on sale today or tomorrow. So we'll have those on sale as well. And then our big show is going to be in May, which is going to be an earlier start time for the music. We're gonna have five bands. I can't tell you what the main event is, but it's crazy. And it's gonna be
that's awesome.
It's gonna be, well, it's a co-main event because I've already announced the women's match, which is gonna be the co-main event, but then the other match that we have is just insane. So that'll be announced in the next month or so. But it's we got like a lot of good stuff coming up and a lot of fun stuff.
Excellent. Well, cool. We'll definitely link to all of that stuff and keep our listeners posted because I know we have a lot of Chicago area listeners, and I have to drag Erin to one because she was stupidly sick.
I know. I had a fever. It was a terrible misjustice.
But, I mean, she missed the death of Hideo Donobaroto. Like, I mean, it was a really, he got decapitated in the ring, so he's dead now. I mean, so you missed that.
Yeah,
so.
He had a hard time getting in the ring and then he lost his head. It was a whole
thing. Yeah, that's his thing. He was poorly crafted by Japanese preschoolers, so I mean, I don't know what you expect.
I don't know, it's better than I could do.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on. We'll definitely link to the shows. Do you want to throw out where people can find you guys on social media?
Yeah, we're at Kaiju Wrestling on Twitter, and Kaiju Attack Wrestling on Facebook, and Instagram is Kaiju Attack Wrestling as well. So I think the only one that's different is our Instagram because Twitter. We couldn't fit enough characters in there. So visit us. We are going to have new shirts for sale soon. We're going to have DVDs going up for sale in the next 2 weeks or so, and tons of new merch at each show. So, but yeah, come visit us. I just ask people to come give it a try because it's not like any other show you go to.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. Well, thank you so much for being on. I know you have a newborn to get back to. We really appreciate you making time.
Yes, I do. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. See you at the next show.
Yes, ma'am. Have a good one.
you're in the Chicagoland area, we hope that you enjoyed that interview and that you check them out. Their next show is on March 31st. It should be really, really fun. The Haters Ball dress up. All right. Now's the time. The WWE's dumb.
WWE thought that they could just disable the comments on a bunch of videos. Boy, were they wrong. Boy, oh boy, were they wrong.
Can't disable the comments on fucking Twitter.
Or Deadspin.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was funny because, like, you know, I'm done with this quarter of grad school. Woo, woo. But so one of my classes.
Congratulations.
P.S. Oh, thank you. So one of my classes was sports blogging. So I had to, my final was like, you had to write 7 separate days of stuff. So they were essentially timestamps. So the thing, you know, unfortunately for me, like a lot of the stuff happens on a Monday and Tuesday night. So I was like, okay, I'm going to stay up and write. And so I started writing an article about like what a hug means in Bailey's world and like blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, she's not hugging Sasha or she what, like what can we infer from a hug? And I was like starting to write that. And then the Moolah thing came on. And I was like, delete, 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 delete. I guess I'm writing about Moolah now.
Right. WWE was like, here, Stella, here's your final assignment. And you were like, okay.
All right. Yeah. I mean, absolutely absurd. And then like, you know, I knew that I was positive that Deadspin would write about it because David Bixen's band is right. A very open and opinionated writer when it comes to WWE. I really like his stuff that's not a judgment. But when like Forbes picked it up and Newsweek picked it up and, you know, Snickers released their statement, I was like, oh, this is for realsies. Fuck you guys. You guys made a dumb choice.
Super dumb choice. And also like, what, I mean, did they really think that no one was going to have a problem with this? Like,
well, they got away with it with Ultimate Warrior. So I honestly think that they just thought that they could rewrite the narrative. Because like, even though, you know, people like us complain about Warrior and there have been articles here and there, like it hasn't received as much attention that they feel like they have to change it. And obviously Warrior was an insane dick, but like, you know, like pimp women out, like it's very different. Yeah. But I just think that they thought that they could get away with it because, like I said, when we were talking about the journalism debate, WWE doesn't care necessarily what the wrestling websites say or think. They care when it gets picked up by the big, like, Newsweek or, you know, ESPN or shit like that. When it gets picked up by bigger affiliates or, like, non-wrestling affiliates, that's kind of when they start to pay attention, and that's what happened. And I think, you know, that plus their sponsor being like, hi, we don't want to be tied.
Used
for a delicious candy bar. We don't want to be tied.
they used the word unacceptable in their statement. Like, that's not small potatoes. That's not a soft statement from a sponsor. That's a, like, oh, fuck. That's a world-ending, we gotta fix this shit statement. Like, unacceptable is a strong word to use in, like, a branded PR statement. It's, like, yeah, they knew. They knew right away. And also, you know what? This is really heartening in some ways because, like, I know there's a bunch of people who are like, it's only because of the sponsors that they did this. No fucking kidding. That's how everything works in entertainment.
But the sponsors took notice because it was such a shit show. If it wasn't a shit show, the sponsors wouldn't have taken notice.
Exactly. And so I think it's a, like, this is a good sign for people who want to make good and positive change within WWE, because now we know the real trick is not to even talk to WWE about this shit. It's immediately to go to their sponsors and be like, hi, did you know that you as a child's candy company are now paired with a pimper of women? How do you feel about that? Like, that gets results in a way that going to WWE does not anymore. And especially with Stephanie trying to pretend like, we listened to you, universe. Like, bitch, you disabled the comments first. We all saw it. Like,
I have her tweet pulled up. It says, thank you, WWE Universe, for using your voice. What remains most important is that the at WrestleMania Women's Battle Royale will be a historic match and is part of WWE's unwavering commitment to our women's division. # Women's Evolution. # change the name.
Oh my God. It's so, you know what would have been a great commitment to women? To name it after a different woman. Pick anyone else. Literally anyone else.
Yeah.
it's just like there's this huge list of women that they could have picked. Like we talked about this before. Like it could have been Sherry Martel. It could have been the Miss Elizabeth. It could have been the Joni China Lahr. Like it's just. It could have been the Wendy Richter. Like it's just bananas. And I know that the reason is because they had a fucking Moolah trophy made and now they can't use it. So they have to not name it something else until they can have the time to make a trophy made. But at the same time, like, who cares? Just take the top off the trophy. Who gives a fuck? Like, just give it a better name. Change the name. Don't change it to generic. There is no women's history in wrestling. Tournament. Like, that's what it says. It says Moolah is our only history, and if we don't use her, there's no one. Like, that's also a lie. It's really insulting.
Yeah, I mean, it's all a mess, but I'm glad we don't have to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, me too. And, like, genuinely glad that they changed it. And fast. Fucking super fast. Like, yeah. they doubled down on Tuesday on SmackDown by being like, we're
doubled
not
down
listen.
Hard.
Yeah, doubled down super hard. And, like, made all their fucking superstars tweet about it, which, watching all of them just scrub that shit as fast as they could was really satisfying. Also, yeah. Fucking, I did not know that Sasha didn't say anything. Didn't even do the Naomi.
I didn't realize it. Because we said Naomi, she just retweeted. She said, I'm not going to say anything, but if you're going to make me tweet, I'm going to retweet it, but I'm not going to, like, suck Moolah's dick. And we were like, that's pretty ballsy. Good for you, Naomi. But I didn't know Sasha didn't tweet at all.
Yeah, didn't say anything about it. Like, girl, good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to do? Get rid of Sasha? LOL. Yeah,
LOL. And also, I noticed, too, that apparently Liv Morgan also did something along that lines where she, like, was like, eh, I don't know about all this. And then the second they changed it to the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royale, that's all she tweeted was WrestleMania Women's Battle Royale. I was like, damn, Liv Morgan, you got me over. That's legit. I like that a lot. Also, Becky Lynch scrubbed all of her stuff the day after. Didn't even wait for WWE to change the name. Just scrubbed her shit. Was like,
yeah. And gave like a really like banal statement to somebody. They were like, what do you think about the women's, you know, why do you think they chose Moolah? And she was like, she had a long reign in WWE.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything positive or negative. I'm just going to give you a fact. Kyle from, he's a writer at Cage Side. He had a really good point when he tweeted, for the second year in a row, fans have affected a change to a women's match at WrestleMania. Because last year, remember, they were going to put
this point.
Yeah, they were going to put the SmackDown Women's Championship on the pre-show. And we all flipped our brains because, like, obviously, like, we talk about this all the time, but the pre-show is not part of WrestleMania. It's not. We were talking about it when we were recording our WrestleMania Every Mania Ever for Patreon. Like, when they start doing kickoff shows, do we watch them or not? And, you know, we decided that we're going to watch the Mania and have that experience. And then if there's a pre-show, we'll watch those matches after so it doesn't affect how we view the Mania. But, like, those, frankly, don't count.
Yeah,
they don't count.
They're not included in any of the royalty DVDs. Like, they literally don't count. You don't get compensated the same way if you're not on the main show, and then you don't get the royalties from those DVDs. So, like, it's a significant pay cut to be on there. And also, fucking Naomi was competing for the championship and was gonna win, and they wanted her to make a daytime outdoor entrance. Like, for real?
That's like having, yeah, like the Undertaker's entrance. Remember that one year when it was, like, really light out? Like, it didn't work.
Yeah,
some instances need it to be dark.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's like you guys know this, and you know that we know this, and that we're not idiots. And so it's like, but that's a really good point. I didn't even think about that. That was just last year that happened as well. Like, I'm really glad because in the last 2 years, at the last Manias, we got the women's belt, which we never existed before, and then the next year we as a universe got the SmackDown Women's Championship match moved onto the main card, and now this year we affected the Moolah, no longer Moolah Battle Royale. Like, that is really heartening, actually. That's like, that is a lot of change that has happened just in the time that we've been doing in this podcast, which is kind of incredible.
Well, you know, ding dong, the witch is dead. Theoretically, we don't have to talk about her again, but I'm really proud of us. The dumb internet wrestling community banded together and we did something good for once.
You know what? I agree. And it's nice too that, like, it seems like it really was the majority of people too. And
yeah.
It's not just us inside of our own wrestling bubble that we've built. It seemed pretty universal that people were like, this is unacceptable. You can't do this and pretend like it's something that's okay. Oh, I also had a thought too. I bet one of the reasons that they thought that they can get away with it, because you said before about the Warrior Award where it kind of just got like squishy washed in. Part of the thing with that is that he got inducted into the Hall of Fame right before he died, and he was clean and kind of sane at the time, and so they did the same thing that they're doing with Jeff Jarrett this year, where it's like, this is a success story we can tell before he either relapses or dies, and then he dies immediately, and then his beautiful wife is now the person who represents this thing.
Wife who is blonde and dumb as a box of rocks.
Dumb. So fucking, like, dumb as a shoestring. So dumb. But she, like, now gets to be the face for this and can be this sweet, low-spoken woman. And so she's, and her name is Dana Warrior. And so it's kind of the Dana Warrior Award. It's not really the Ultimate Warrior Award. It's not the award he said he wanted in his fucking acceptance speech anyway. And so it sort of is the Dana Warrior Award, which I think is why it squicks past in a way that this couldn't. They tried to just like drop this in our laps, like, hey, I brought you a treat. And instead it's like, I think the fuck not. No. So it's, I think that that's the big difference too, and that they were just too dumb to realize that that's what was happening.
I mean, we're dumb, but are we that dumb? Come on, WWE.
They hope so. They really, truly hope so. They hope that we're forgetting that for the first six months of, the last 6 months, because Mania is in April, the last 6 months of 2017, they told us that The Undertaker had been retired by Roman Reigns, which no longer exists in their history. So they think we're that dumb. So maybe they do think this dumb.
Well, Roman retired Undertaker. He didn't retire Biker Taker.
I hope to God he comes out as Biker Taker. I want them to do that whole thing and all the smoke comes up and then he doesn't come out. And then they're like, boom, lights come up, then it's Biker Taker, and then Kid Rock is there. I feel like that's the appropriate way to do that.
For sure. I mean, you can't have John Cena, you can't have Roman Reigns retire The Undertaker, have John Cena call him out by calling him old, which is like, oh my God. Yeah, he is old. Let him die in peace.
This decrepit old man sit by himself.
Right. But then also be inducting Kid Rock, the singer of Biker Taker song. If they don't have Biker Taker come out, I'm going to freak out.
They're not going to. They want to trade on the Undertaker music coming out.
Love Biker Taker.
You're right. I know that they do. And also, like, you're right. Kid Rock is going to fucking be there also.
It just would seem like a huge misstep if they didn't.
I've never in my life advocated for Kid Rock to do more of anything. But you know what? I would accept this as more of him on WrestleMania. It makes more sense.
You know, it's really funny. So I was watching that Kid Rock segment on Raw while Nick was in the other room talking on the phone. And while that segment was on, I had this thought. I was like, man, I'm really glad Nick's not in this room, because Nick is always like, you know, Kid Rock's not that bad. His music's okay. And he has some like, and he goes on to these weird tangents. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to hear it, Nick. I hear it all the time.
No.
Kid Rock apology tour.
That's so weird. I cannot remember who tweeted this, so I apologize for not giving credit to this person, but I saw someone say on Twitter that the only requirement for being inducted into the Hall of Fame this year for WWE is that it had to be somebody who could unequivocally, no matter how much anyone tweeted at them about it, not be embarrassed about the fact that they're now sharing this honor with Donald Trump.
Yeah,
and
true.
They picked the fucking right person. Like, really did. Because I think that's a really good point. It's a great observation, because this is the first time they've had an induction since he's like it happened last year, but that like last year was a whole different animal.
Yeah.
It was still very soon after the election. It kind of didn't really feel real yet. And now we're like a full ass year into this disaster of a presidency. This year they had to pick someone who wouldn't be like, no, I refuse to be in the Hall of Fame with this fucking idiot. Like, so it's, in that sense, I think they did a great job of choosing Kid Rock.
I absolutely agree. Okay, I really just kind of want to focus on Raw and SmackDown this week, just to kind of keep it short, because you're not feeling good. Short, LOL, yeah. Not your demographic. but the one thing, instead of doing a TNA 3-minute, the one thing I want to talk about is the Impact Knockouts Championship. There was a matchup between Chelsea Green, aka Laurel Van Ness, and Allie, and it was an excellent match. It was so good. The storyline was good. Allie's like underdog come up was good. Like Chelsea Green has become such a good wrestler. Allie's character has really flourished. And, you know, we all know that Laurel Van Ness, Chelsea Green left Impact. So she was the champion. She was going to drop it sooner or later. She did drop it here and Allie picked it up. Allie's the new champion. And it was just, as somebody who watches, it was just so satisfying because Allie and Laurel have been enemies from the moment that, you know, Allie came on with Maria. And then a couple months later, Maria brought in Laurel to the Lady Squad. And from the moment Laurel came on, Allie and her have been like enemies, like nemesis. And so this is like a culmination of 2 years of storyline and like character build. And it was just like a really awesome moment. And the match was good. The story was good. The women were incredible. And it was just, it was a rare moment where like everything in pro wrestling just falls together. And it was awesome.
Oh, that's so exciting. Okay. I will definitely watch that tonight then. Yes. Excellent.
You should, I would highly recommend checking it out. It was, I watched it like 2 or 3 times. Like, it's not the best match that I've ever seen ever, but like I said, it was just the culmination of this 2 years of storyline, and it was just awesome. I really enjoyed it. This week is Feast or Fired, so I assume that means that EC3 is going to get the fired briefcase.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's a clever way to get rid of him, obviously. Right? Do you know off the top of your head, you may not know this, do you know off the top of your head where in the episode the women's match starts?
Yeah, it's like, well, around 40 minutes in.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's after the X Division match, so Matt Sydal is now the grand champion and the X Division holder, which means that they're probably going to mush those belts together. Well, I think Aries picks him up later. I don't know. TNA spoilers. Who fucking knows? Matt Sydal has both the belts, and then Aries has his belt. There was a match between him and Johnny Impact. It was a good match. They had never wrestled before. Alberto El Patron came out and like clapped and laughed at the end, which is like, who cares? Fuck that guy.
Yeah, can't fuck wait that guy.
He's gone. Fuck that guy. Oh, also, I think how they're going to get Lashley out, because, you know, there's so many people left. It's like, how are they getting them out? I think that Brian Cage is going to eat him.
Like, literally eat him?
No, I think he's going to beat him up. But like, you know, Lashley was supposed to have a partner or something, and the OVE was like beating him down. I think it was supposed to be Lashley and Eddie Edwards, but Eddie Edwards obviously had his face broken. So Cage came out and helped Lashley. But then at the end, when Lashley tried to like shake his hand, Cage was like, chump. And like, Cage is big enough and they're building him in a way that he could take out walking Armageddon, Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because you said he was going to eat him, I immediately thought Lucha Underground style, because Cage is also on that show. And I was just like, how is that going to work? I don't understand. I like really had to question it for a second. But that totally makes sense.
Regular wrestling eat, not Lucha Underground eat.
Yeah, like really had to think about it for a second.
Yeah. NXT was good this week, but I think the two things that are worth talking about is that Ember and Shayna are going to face each other again. They had a good face-off. Man, I am just over OVER on Shayna. I really am. I think everything they're doing with her and everything that she solo is doing is fucking great.
I completely agree. I have like totally gotten over in her. I think that they understood how to book her in NXT and have executed it super well.
She's really stepped up.
Yes, I completely agree. I like that her promos have gotten a lot better. Like, she's still hesitant about some things, but she like believes in herself in a way that she did not like when we saw her at Shimmer a year ago. Like, she just is more connected and like in that character.
I have a small complaint about Ember, and it's always bothered me, and it's really starting to bother me a lot. So on the indies, she was Athena, right?
Yes.
We get it. Athena, Greek goddess, we get it. On NXT, she's not. She's Ember Mood. She's supposed to be this like wolf creature or something, but she always wears the like gladiator gear and it doesn't work.
You are not the only person who has said that to me. Devin also pointed that out to me and was like, I don't understand why she wears this. Like, yeah, totally. Like, I like it and I like the way that it looks, but it doesn't make sense on her. And it's weird too, because I feel like, not Shayna, the other MMA, Sonya.
She's got a gladiator look and it works for her because she's supposed to be like this fighter, capital F. But Ember is supposed to be this almost like ethereal creature. And they've backed away from the wolf stuff a lot, which I get. Maybe that's why they're like, just go back to gladiator. And I think even one of the one of the commentators said something like that on commentary about like Grecian or gladiator or gods or some god of war or something. They said something that I was like, oh, so you're trying to sell the costume? Like, but it just doesn't, she just needs a new gear redesign. She's gone through so many with NXT and she's such a good wrestler and she's getting really good on the mic and, you know, the crowd loves her, but like her look and her character design, like none of it makes sense from the purple and blue hair down to the gold and red gladiator shit. Like it doesn't make any sense.
I totally agree. I really like Ember, but there is a disconnect and it's like hard to get invested in her character. And it's because she has no character. She isn't really anyone. Like, we don't really know anything about her. We don't know anything about why she does anything that she does. Like, and her look doesn't give us a clear narrative about who she is. It's just, everything's kind of jumbled and she just needs more cohesion. And I like her a lot and she's a great wrestler, but you're right. There's just something about her look that does not work.
Yeah, it's just started to really bother me lately. I really like that we got Dakota Kai and she got a little comeuppance on Shayna. I thought that was nice.
Yeah, I agree. I really like Dakota Kai. She's fun. She's a really good baby face. Like, they desperately need baby faces, period.
Everywhere.
Not just women.
Every promotion ever needs baby faces.
Absolutely. And she's just really good at it. And like, her look is so fun. And she's so, like, I love the way that she does her hair. Like, she's just very appealing. And you're right. It was nice to see her, like, get hers a little bit.
Obviously, we have to talk about 205 Live. But I did want to mention that I love that. Akira and Kalisto acted as, like, the bouncers to their tag teams. They were, like, holding back Lince Dorado and holding back Hideo. Like, I really like that. I don't know why.
It's because they felt like an actual tag team. Both of them did. Immediately.
That's true.
And I think that they're clearly centering the start of this cruiserweight tag division around these guys, and I think it's a really smart move, especially because they have no goddamn idea what to do with either Hideo or Akira, and so why not do what you do with the other dudes who weigh more than 205 pounds, stick them in a fucking tag team. Like, perfect. That's exactly what they should be doing, and it felt so smooth, and it just like works inside of this story frame. Like, I'm still pissed that the women aren't getting tag belts before the cruiserweights, but at least they're doing a good job of like really trying to fit guys together in preparation for an actual tag division.
I love Akira Tozawa so much that I think I just love everything that he does. But I also like that Hideo, because it works with his character, that he has this vicious streak, and Akira is like the nice bubbly one that will fire you and smile on your face, that like that balances out really well. I also like Tadeo's like new finisher, maybe. I liked how he did the, like, he pulled the guy back almost into a dragon sleeper, but then like kneed him, and it was like it was like kind of a submission, but kind of a GTS. It was like, I'm good. If you're not gonna let me do the GTS, and I don't want to do the Rings of Saturn, because like that was very much Neville's move for a while here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna kind of just make up my own nonsense, and I liked it.
Yeah, I agree. At first it was like, was that intentional? I don't understand. And I rewound it and I watched it again and was like, oh yeah, they're both prepared for him to do this move this way. And so it didn't feel like it was an actual accident. I think you're right. I think it is some kind of like new together finisher. Also, I wonder if maybe now we can look out for someone else doing the Rings of Saturn. I feel like that might be more and more likely as we get closer and closer to WrestleMania. Like, Neville still works there. He is not released from his contract and might come back. Like,
yeah. Braun and Neville.
Oh my God. I would die.
Hey, I know that they won't do it, but like, I would be all in for it. And I know most of the internet that we talk to at least would be in for it.
I also feel like if he really refuses to come back as a cruiserweight, and God knows I understand why, he would totally
be absolutely disrespected.
Yeah, 1000%. Like, I can totally understand why he'd be like, let these guys do it now, and don't ever put me back in this division. Like, bring him back as fucking bronze partner. They would be a hilarious, like, tiny tag team for a second.
Yeah, I think it would be great. Anyways, the thing that we really have to talk about 205 Live is that bomb-ass match between Cedric and Roddy, and the fact that Cedric Alexander gets to go to WrestleMania.
I know. I definitely cried.
I did too. It's so funny. So I was watching it today when I was getting tattooed, because, you know, I have to be there for a long time. And I was like, do you mind if I watch something? Like, I need to watch it for this thing I do. And she was like, no, not at all. Dasha was like, hey, how do you feel? And he started to tear up. And I was like, Cedric.
I know. Oh, my God.
How far we've come, Cedric, from us just talking about your butt in, like, bingo halls.
I know.
You go to WrestleMania.
Oh, my God. I know. There was a moment where it was right after he won, before he gave his teary speech, which was beautiful, where I realized, like, it could be Drew Gulak, because they like to tell a very clear face and heel story with these kind of matches, and so I feel like Drew could totally win and go to WrestleMania, and I just started, like, sobbing. I was thinking about watching the two of them wrestle in Logan Square Auditorium, like, 2 years ago.
Right.
It was just, like, really overwhelming, and I was like, oh, I totally understand why, like, I didn't experience Daniel Bryan. I came in right at the end as he got hurt, and I never got to really see him as an indie wrestler until I already knew who he was. But this is the first time I've really been like, oh, I get it. I totally understand how he got so over with so many people. Like, I just feel so connected to Cedric and Drew after having seen them in a fucking bingo hall. Like, it's just like amazing to watch them do so well. It's so exciting. And Ali too. I mean, that's absolutely true for Ali too. Duh, he's from fucking Chicago.
I know. I was just going to say, do you not have that same? Because, like, I feel like we're in a win-win situation all around.
Oh, we 1,000% are. But it's like, it's Madrubu. Of course I'm going to immediately go to that with Drew. Like, and also, like, I'm so happy that he's doing so well. But honestly, I really hope that what happens is there's some kind of shenanigans during the Drew and Ali match, that they have some banger ass match and then they get like a double DQ and all three of them go to WrestleMania.
I think that might be wishful thinking.
I don't know, man. Last year they had a singles match that they put on the pre-show and now both of those dudes are gone. And also they like all three of these guys and they haven't had a triple threat match for the Cruiserweight title, and it's another way to make it seem more legitimate that three people want it. Like, honestly, the fact that it's only ever been singles matches for it is kind of weird. They've never done that, so I don't think that WrestleMania is an unheard of place for them to try something like that as well, knowing that all three of them can really fucking perform.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point, and everyone would be, like, all in for it, too.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah. I didn't think about it that way because I was just like, either way, we're good. But yeah, you're totally right.
I mean, any three of those outcomes, Mustafa Ali going by himself, Drew Gulak going by himself, or both of them going together and all of them, whatever, winding up versus Cedric at WrestleMania. Like, okay, awesome. I will take any of these.
So are you buying Vince McMahon and Roman have disagreements storyline?
No. I mean, this is obviously a work. I think that they're making the best of a bad situation in a way that is kind of unexpected for WWE.
Yeah, I actually don't. I know everyone was like, oh, LOL, they're just trying to bring back Steve Austin versus Vince, blah, blah, blah. But I think this actually kind of works. And, like, Brock sucks. And even if, like, they're letting Roman say that Brock sucks, like, I'm glad that they're letting Roman say that Brock sucks, because Brock sucks.
Yeah, and also, like, even if Roman is doing the same kind of thing, it's still true. Vince McMahon is still an old asshole. Like, it was true when Austin said it, and that's why that storyline works. And it's true now, even more so. Like, and I feel like if they do this with Vince and they make it versus him and he winds up fighting the Authority, LOL, in the same way that Seth already did, but whatever. Roman could actually permanently, quote unquote, in kayfabe, get rid of Vince. Like, if he's really leaving to do XFL stuff, and the company is, like, really transferring into the hands of Triple H as, like, the leader and total endpoint of authority, that's a pretty great way to get Roman over. that's something that they would be unwilling to do with literally anyone else, but maybe are willing to do it with Roman and Vince, that we finally get to say goodbye to Vince in storyline and forever because of Roman. Like, yeah, that would work. I would get over on that. I totally would. Like, this is the most I've ever liked Roman as a character because it feels genuine. Like, because you're right, Brock sucks, and it sucks to have Brock be off fucking off with the title. And all we ever get is Paul yelling about how Brock wants to fuck the title or fucking whatever. Like, it's just... they've wanted Roman to be the voice of the people for so long, and this is a legit reason to put him as the voice of the people, and I'm enjoying it. I like it a lot. I'm in on it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot more. Even though it was kind of spoon-fed to me, I still liked it.
Yeah, I agree. It's like they've embraced the idea of like, oh, this, you'll actually like this. We don't have to like shove it down your throat. We just have to like feed it to you slowly, and you'll actually eat it on purpose. Like it's nice that they've like figured that out.
Last week you had different feelings than I did about Sasha and Bailey. What are your feelings this week?
I don't know. I like it. I like the story that they're telling. I think the reason that I felt so frustrated before was that we were just waiting to be on the other side of Fastlane, and I was just annoyed at okay, now we just like we already got the turn sort of at Elimination Chamber, and now we're just like putzing along until we're on the other side of Fastlane, and now we're on the other side of Fastlane, and it feels like we're actually building up to a match, which I like a lot.
Do you think they're going to have a match, Bailey and Sasha, at WrestleMania? Or do you think
I do.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, I totally do. I think that they're going to try to fit... I think they're going to do like we've seen in watching our Every Mania Ever series on our Patreon. LOL, donate to our Patreon. That they're going to go back to having more shorter matches. It kind of feels like they have enough stuff to fit into this big-ass six-hour block that they block for themselves. They may put them on the pre-show, but they're still going to have a banger match, and I will enjoy it. And, like, yeah, they should be on the main card. Duh, it's fucking long as hell. But I feel like Kevin and Sammy might wind up on the pre-show, too. So if they're going to put grudge matches on the pre-show, there totally feels like a place for a Sasha Bailey match.
Yeah, it's weird. I usually would be up at arms, but if Sasha and Bailey ended up on the pre-show and both the championship matches were not, I think that I would be annoyed, but also kind of okay with it.
Yeah, and also if they're going to do the Andre the Giant Battle Royale, the LOL WrestleMania Women's Battle Royale, a grudge match from SmackDown between two men, and a grudge match from Raw between two women, that feels okay to me, actually. I'm not upset about that. Again, both of those singles matches deserve to be on the main card so they can get paid for them in the same manner. But as a pre-show, that's actually a pretty solid pre-show.
But do they even have time to build to what Sasha and Bailey have? Like, I feel like you could put them in the Battle Royal and have, you know, continue their build of fucking each other over in, you know, the Rumble and the Elimination Chamber, and then this Battle Royal again. And then I feel like this is a feud that they could pocket until SummerSlam, to be honest, and like slowly continue to build it.
Absolutely. I think they totally could do that. I think that they should do it now before they fuck it up, though. I'm worried that with a lot more time, it'll just fizzle out and turn into fucking nothing again. Like, we are in a hot streak in this feud that they could have this match at WrestleMania and have that feud continue on until it culminates at SummerSlam, sort of in the same way that they did while they were at NXT, where it wasn't like they didn't just have one match. Right. They had several matches that built in intensity, and I feel like to just do the first them wrestling no kind of gimmicks attached to it match, WrestleMania is a pretty good place for that. SummerSlam could be a better place for them to have a 2 out of 3 falls match or a ladder match or fucking any other crazy bullshit that they wanted to do with the two of them. Like, Charlotte's gone and now it's Sasha and Bailey, and like, let the two of them wrestle. They're clearly very good at it.
Yeah. Did you think for a moment during Miz TV that they were going to add a bunch of people?
No, I was pretty confident that it was just going to remain.
I got nervous for a second.
I think they understand that they have like lightning in a bottle with the three of them.
For sure. I absolutely agree. I had a moment where I was like, shit. Because I obviously didn't know what was going to happen with Braun, that I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. But
speaking of Braun, so that it was supposed to be the Bar versus Miztourage, but then because the Bar has been such dicks lately, the entire tag came out and was like, oh, you don't think there's any competition? And so then at the end of the show, they had the tag team battle royal, which I don't think I've personally ever, or I can't remember ever seeing a tag team battle royal. I kind of liked it.
I think they've had them. Didn't they have one on SmackDown to determine a number one contender like within the last year? I think they may have. That was when that's maybe all they did. I mean, SmackDown's a little different because obviously their format is different, and also they like focused heavily on their tag down. But for Raw and in like as the A show like scene, I can't remember the last time they had a battle royal with the tag teams because there fucking aren't very many.
Yeah, you're right about the tag team. I guess I just didn't remember it because SmackDown and Raw are different shows, obviously. But yeah. I love that I mean, if you had written down Braun coming out and doing what he did on paper and showed it to me, I would have rolled my eyes until I died. But it actually, because of the performer that Braun is and how everybody sold it and how the bar sold it on the outside, like, oh shit, what's happening? How commentary sold it, like, it really works. And whether or not Braun even gets a partner, I think it will still work. If he does get a partner, I think it will be really dependent on who his partner is. Like, if you just give him gold dust, it's not going to work. But if you bring, like, Neville in, it will totally work. I don't know. I think it's just, I'm giving WWE credit. Like, I think it's a very creative storyline. They've been doing really cool shit with Braun.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it also felt like it was really weird that Braun wasn't on the WrestleMania card. And this brings, like, an element of surprise to it that I was not anticipating. I agree. I give them credit where credit is due, that this is an interesting creative choice. And I'm glad that they're trying shit with him that they... Like, who the fuck else would they ever do this with? No one. So it's, I like that we're getting to see stuff that feels fresh and new because it actually is fresh and new.
So we obviously haven't talked about Fastlane yet, but Asuka came out to face, like, to talk about her choice, and Alexa and Mickey came out. Mickey not looking as hot as she did last week, was still looking
good. RIP her bodysuit. It was too good for this world, I guess.
Yeah, RIP, like, hot biker mom. But Alexa gets all yuppity because, you know, she can get into Asuka's face now because Asuka's not going to fight her, which weirdly led to a match between Asuka and Mickey, but whatever. I don't understand how pro wrestling works. I watch it every week and I still don't understand. Yeah. I really actually enjoyed this match between Asuka and Mickey, though. I just really... It's weird. Like, the more I see Mickey, I've always liked her, but the more I see her, the more I'm just like, you know what? Fuck yeah, Mickey James.
I agree. I mean, I didn't have any kind of nostalgic connection to Mickey, which is fucking weird to say nostalgic connection about somebody who is not that old. But
you know what? It's funny. I didn't either with WWE, but I did with, like, TNA, which is weird.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. You've watched TNA for a fucking long time. But it's... Like, she has really grown on me in a lot of ways. And also, like, I'm not going to lie, it does help that she doesn't have those dumb pants on anymore. Like, I know that's a really weird, superficial thing to say, but it's kind of like we were talking about Ember's gear, where it's like, those pants are so weird and don't fit with the character that you're playing that I just feel completely disconnected from it. And, like, her gear has just stepped the fuck up lately. And I'm like, you're a great wrestler, you're a great personality, and now your gear matches what a badass you are. And it's like, I'm in. I totally dialed in on it.
But of course, this leads, Asuka wins, obviously. Duh. But, you know, there was a moment earlier where Alexa tried to call Nia out and Nia didn't come. And, you know, Nia and Alexa have this backstage segment where Alexa makes sure that Nia's in her corner for next week. And Nia looks kind of sad, but it's like, yeah, I love you too. Like, it's fine. She's clearly still being hard on herself and blah, blah, blah. Nia has a squash match, you know, Nia squash matches. That's what it is. But then because TV magic, Alexa and Mickey James are talking shit about Nia, but Nia can see it because the camera and the microphone are on because Charlie was supposed to interview them. So it's really Charlie's fault. But you know what I liked? I like that. I mean, Mickey was catty, but Mickey came in and was like, Alexa, that thing that you said to Nia last week was messed up.
Yeah.
Like, that was mean. And Mickey was said it in, like, a laughy, jokey way. But, like, Mickey didn't actually do anything bad here. I mean, she did. Like, she shouldn't have been laughing and stuff. But, like, Mickey could still totally turn face again. I don't know if they were protecting it or if it was just trying to make Alexa seem like the absolute monster that they're trying to make her. But I just like that Mickey was like, hey, you're being an asshole.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of both, actually. I think that it was a little bit protecting Mickey so that she's not quite rock bottom and can be a little more flexible in where she fits in their heel and no faces spectrum, basically. And I think you're also correct that they wanted Alexa to seem like an absolute fucking monster, which worked. It did work. It was vile.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy that we get Nia as a face because I think she'll actually be a good face. And I'm happy that we got to see Nia, like, destroy shit and Alexa run away like a coward. And I think this will be a good match. But I just feel like turning the pretty blonde into just she's a bad guy, so she's going to be a mean girl. But just, like, a stereotypical bad girl. And then also just being lazy writing and be like, oh, you're small and blonde, so we're going to make the big girl mad by calling her fat. Like, it's just lazy writing to me.
Yeah, it's very lazy writing for sure.
I mean, is it working? Yes. Does Alexa seem like a monster heel? Yes. But it's just not very creative.
And also, I feel like there's the added element because WWE has opened kayfabe in so many ways, a lot of people already know that Alexa has suffered from an eating disorder for a long time, which like builds this extra layer of skis onto this. Like, it's not only lazy writing, it's really inconsiderate writing. Not just because like you shouldn't be saying these things about Nia and it's inconsiderate of her as a person. It's also really inconsiderate to make Alexa a demon for being a body shamer when she's herself like already really suffers from that. It just is like
stupid.
It's very stupid. That you're totally right. It's stupid.
I don't know. If Nia doesn't come out on top as the Raw Women's Champion,
she has to.
I know she has to, but again, we're talking about WWE. Did we not just have a conversation about how fucking stupid they are?
And how stupid they think we are.
There's like a fucked up world where like Charlotte beats Asuka and breaks her streak and Nia loses to Alexa. And it's just like this weird dystopia.
Oh my God.
I hope that it doesn't happen, but there is definitely like a potential for a weird dystopia.
I hope that I don't actually hope this is like best case of a like weird bad scenario. I hope that Carmella does cash in during the Charlotte and Asuka match and wins the title and breaks Asuka's streak. It would be the perfect ending to her Money in the Bank run. Like, absolutely.
No, that's why I agree. Like, we talked about it before. I agree, but I don't think that they're gonna
absolutely no way that they're gonna do it, but that would be pretty cool.
Would be pretty cool, pretty cool. Final Deletion is happening next week, or the Ultimate Deletion, whatever. The Deletion is happening next week and not at WrestleMania.
I mean, it looks pretty legit. It looks pretty.
I mean, we got Rebby laughing with a baby strapped to her, so I'm like being...
Two babies. There's two babies strapped. It's the Ultimate Deletion, so it's Ultimate Baby Strapping.
No, only like... Wolfgang is strapped to her. Maxwell's too big to be strapped to her.
Oh, you're right. You're right. That's fair.
Me, I know a lot about House Hardy.
That's true.
Jeff got a DWI this week, and I liked how all of the Hardy gang, like Matt and Rebby, like I feel like in the past they would have not said anything because WWE is such monsters, and either they have power now or they don't give a fuck, which I think it's kind of both, but probably more that they don't give a fuck. But they like spoke out in support of him, and they didn't let it just get like swept under the rug. They were like, "This is our brother, and we love him." And so, like, he's probably in the Final Deletion or the Ultimate Deletion. They might cut him out, but he's probably in it.
Oh yeah, for sure. Although Rebby did make a statement that like if they removed him from the universe, that the universe would still work, and she's right. And he was out of the universe while he was injured for a really long time, so it's not that like they don't want him there, but it is possible to do it without him.
Well, yeah, the universe started because he was injured, like right. That's how it started.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be interesting. I will save my feelings until I actually see it.
Yeah, I
just have a feeling that Bray Wyatt's going to ruin it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I know that the Hardy stuff will be, I will enjoy it the same as I enjoyed the other Deletion stuff, because they were good in all of it. Like, all of them made it work, and they have been consistently good inside of the Broken and Deletion universe. And so, I'm worried that Bray's going to be bad. He was, I don't know, like, he was the better part of that stupid House of Horrors match.
Well, that's because Randy Orton sucks full stop.
Exactly, but that's the thing, is, like, he had to make it work, for him and, like, be on it in Randy Orton's terrible universe, and the fact that he could make that, like, that match was bad, but it was bad in a way that I enjoyed, in the same way that I enjoyed the original Final Deletion, where it's like, this is so fucking ridiculous. I cannot believe that they actually committed to this in a way that they didn't before. And like, they ruined it by having him get in the car and then come back and fuck, whatever. It didn't matter. But it, like, I don't know. Maybe Matt will push him to a place outside of a WWE ring where Bray will actually excel. Like, it is very different than a normal wrestling match. And like, Bray did the best with it when they tried to rip it off with the New Day that he possibly could. Like, I don't know. I have higher hopes for this than I know. Bray's going to fucking lose. I'm 100% prepared for that. But I don't know. I feel like he might be okay. He might do all right at this.
I hope so.
I also really hope so.
Yeah. Ugh. Ugh. Okay, SmackDown. So SmackDown opened with an AJ promo just being like, I beat all these men. I don't deserve it. I earned it, which is true. I mean, that match, the six-pack challenge on Fastlane was shockingly good.
Yeah, there were a lot of parts of it that I enjoyed. It was long, and I was like, this inevitable. It felt inevitable. But I thought they did a really good job of, like, the drama between Tammy and Shane McMahon, like, really helped fuel the end of that match. Like, I really enjoyed the story that they were telling, and I thought that it really added to this six-pack challenge.
For sure, and having all of this stuff go down with Cammy and Shane, but then Cammy together, and then having AJ get up from being, like, powerbombed or whatever onto this table and, like, sneak a win with, like, the sickest phenomenal forearm was awesome. Because, you know, AJ's a great champ, but there were people in this match that are incredible, and I think the fact that he eked out a win makes him still look like a good champ, but also doesn't discredit everybody that was in that ring.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
So, I don't know. I did think it was weird that, okay, so Rusev lost to Nakamura.
That was a great match, though.
It was a great match, but I don't understand why Rusev fought AJ on SmackDown. So AJ's giving a promo, Nakamura comes out, they have their moment, then Rusev comes out to, like, interrupt, but then why was it Rusev and eight? Why do you lose a match and then you get to fight the champion? I know it wasn't for the belt, but it was just weird.
Well, I think that Rusev has the same sickness that Bray Wyatt does, where it does not matter how many matches he loses. He comes out and he will do whatever the fuck he wants, and he will pretend like he has won every match he's ever been in. And it works for Rusev in a way that it does not always work for Bray Wyatt. Like,
because it's always Rusev Day, so he's always always has something to celebrate.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's kind of the thing, is it's like, he's lovable in a way where he's like, I just want to ruin everybody's party, and Shane's like, okay. So I think that's part of it, is like, Shane is wink a face, but is not really, and like, we'll just do things to fuck people over, and like, Shane has documented I don't like yous with AJ Styles, so I don't know, it didn't feel weird to me that they were fighting. It was just like, okay, you just fit inside of this narrative, that's fine.
I mean, it did set up that Nakamura was like, I'm always going to save you because I want you to be the best AJ Styles when I beat you.
Yeah, so, like, I really liked that. I thought that was really good. I wonder if that means that later when, like, Nakamura is not going to not do anything until WrestleMania. I wonder if when he's in the same situation, if AJ Styles will also save him.
Yeah, maybe. I just did like that AJ was like, I don't need your help. And Nakamura was like, I don't care. I'm essentially your bodyguard until WrestleMania.
I know. I loved it. Nakamura, it seems excited to be there fucking finally, which is nice. And like, really seems excited to be doing this feud. And the fact that they could like rope in Rusev and use him in this way, and that like Nakamura gave a fuck during that match. And it was clear that he gave a fuck when he does not a lot of times now, because he doesn't have to. And Rusev gave a fuck in a way that we don't get to see him give a fuck hardly ever anymore. So it was really nice to watch two guys who have had like really fucking boring runs lately just get to have like a banger match. It was just, and I'm glad it was first. It was the right choice to open the show with. It was just, I really enjoyed it. I'm really glad that they did it. I'm glad it went well.
Rusev may have lost a lot this week, but he had a good showing character-wise, because it was Lana and him versus Charlotte and Bobby in the Mixed Max Challenge. And
which was Rusev, really fun.
It was really fun. And, you know, I obviously have my ups and downs with Lana, but I think Lana has really shown during the Mixed Max Challenge, and I think her being managed almost by Rusev works really well. And when Lana like wrestles on SmackDown, I want him to come out and like be in her corner. I want Lana to be a part of the Rusev Day faction. I want it to be Lana and Aiden and Rusev. Like, I think that makes sense. And I think that they could use it on the women's division and the men's division. I think that she should just be a part of that faction.
I agree. I think that's a really good idea. Because I agree that Rusev acting as her manager now after all of this time, like, they have all of this history, and so you can tell this really good story of her being his manager and getting him to this level, and then now he is paying her back because they're husband and wife now, of bringing her up to his level as a wrestler, and that they've then brought in Aiden to be the voice of Rusev and Lana Day. Like, it's an easy faction to put together, and I feel like WWE could really benefit from putting more factions together right now. It's just a bunch of people like blowing in the wind with no reason to fight each other other than the club, basically, on Raw, it feels like, and the New Day. Like, just put some people together. Like, make them tag up. Titus Worldwide is fun and has been fun for a long time. Like, it just makes sense that they should, like, start creating more little pockets of people. So I agree. I think that's a really good idea.
I mean, obviously in a different way than Sanity, but like, think about how much Sanity has benefited from Nikki Cross being there and like being Absolutely. Active, not just like a pretty face. Not that like her character is pretty face, but you know, Nikki is pretty. I just think that they could, you know, they're towing the line with this Mixed Match Challenge. Like, they could toe the line more in a Sanity style way with other people. And I think Lana's the right choice to try on the main roster.
Yeah, I think you're right. Absolutely. And I think the fact that, like, Lana isn't great, but is doing a great job.
And has really committed character-wise to being Absolutely. Like, funny and silly and, like...
It's awesome! She's very good at it. Like, she is good at her comedic timing with Rusev is excellent. I'm sure it's because they're married and because you, like, we've talked about this before, like, IRL in our lives, about when you live with someone for a long time, their humor just becomes so finely tuned to what you like and what's going to make you laugh, because that feedback is important in those kind of relationships. And I feel like they're probably like that.
Oh, for sure. I mean, even just Rusev on Total Divas, like, he's like a big weirdo. Like, I'm sure he's just a big like, imagine like how weird Nick is, but if we did like a Total Divas style, like, he would still translate as a fucking weirdo. Like,
oh my god, he would be like the John Cena. That's exactly who he would be. He'd be like, I'm gonna make a joke out of the fact that this camera is here and I'm gonna be punny about things, and you'd just be like, oh my god, I'm gonna murder you. I know how that would go.
Murder the Bludgeon Brothers.
I don't know. I was upset at first when they came out and they like ruined this match, basically, but at the same time, like, I don't know how we didn't see this coming, right? Like,
I saw it coming and then I forgot. Like, I feel like when we were talking about it, I didn't see it coming fast lane wise, but you know, they had interrupted New Day and the Usos so many times that, like,
yeah, I guess I just forgot that they had been doing that.
I love Luke Harper, but like, the Bludgeon Brothers are forgettable.
They are forgettable. And I love Luke too. And I'm glad he's not in that disgusting shirt anymore. And I want to see him do really well. There's just something about Rowan that is really unlikable, and I don't like him. And it's weird because he's not a bad wrestler, he's not a great wrestler, but he's not a bad wrestler. He's not as good as Luke Harper, but he's I don't know, maybe it's because I remember that fucking creepy storyline that he did with Renee years ago and I just like can't get past it, but I just don't like him at all.
Yeah, and also, like, I just love the New Day and Usos, so it's hard to be like, yay, Bludgeon Brothers over the New Day and Usos.
I mean, give Luke Harper another tag partner. Give him anyone else and let him do a different gimmick. I don't care what it is, just, like, separate him. Maybe, and I think maybe it's also just because we knew the Wyatt brothers for so long.
Just the Wyatts without Bray Wyatt. It's dumb.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, they really get the fuzzy end of the lollipop on that one, that, like, there's no way to disassociate them. So, but I feel like they know if they break them up, Rowan will just get released. I'm like, sorry.
Sorry. I mean, the New Day and the Usos, but especially Xavier, sold the shit out of it. They did a really good job in that segment. And I liked Jimmy and Big E, like, teaming up on SmackDown. Like, I thought that
was...
And Big E being serious, too. Like, you know, before Big E was in New Day, he was like the bodyguard and bruiser. It takes five. Like, this is a side, obviously, I prefer like peck meat, like dancing Big E. Like, that's the one I love. But like, I like to see different sides of Big E. And it was nice to have him be like, I am very strong.
Yes, I completely agree. And I liked too that they had that moment where it was like, yeah, it doesn't matter that we're enemies and that we will continue to be enemies after this is over. Like, they have hurt our family. And I really, I don't remember which Uso is injured and which one is not injured. It was Jimmy?
Jimmy is the one that fought with Big E. But okay, I don't know.
Jimmy.
I gotta be honest, I can tell female twins apart. I cannot tell male twins apart.
I can only tell Jimmy and Jay apart when they're standing next to each other. When it's them alone, it's really hard for me to tell which one is which. But I'm pretty sure it was Jimmy. So Jimmy called immediately, as soon as he walked up, he called Big E Oos, which I liked a lot. It was like this immediate bond where they were like, our family has been injured by the same people, and so now you and I are brothers in combat until we can avenge them. It was like such clear storytelling. I just really liked it. I thought it was great.
So we finally come to the moment where we can talk about Charlotte and Asuka. Oh. I guess we should talk about Charlotte and Ruby. Like, I feel like the crowd wasn't in on that match, but Ruby did a good job, and it was a good match.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought that they did a good job of making Ruby look like she was a real contender. It wasn't just for like, sure. I just like snatched this title shot away. It was like, I fucking earned this. Also, she's been there for like less than a year, and she's having title matches on the pay-per-view before WrestleMania. Like, I'm so happy for her that I'm just so glad. Another like person who is a huge part of my indie journey, and now I get to see her perform on this like massive stage. It's just so exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit of a clusterfuck with the Riot Squad and then Becky and Naomi and like whatever, but like the actual in-ring stuff with Charlotte and Ruby, I thought was really good.
The tag match was also really good with those women. It was weird to see them come back in this circumstance, but like they had already fought and had this.
I forgot about the tag match.
It was good. It was fun to see the four of them like just get in and like get to wrestle for a while. It was like they do that with men so often that I just enjoy that they did it.
It fell apart at the end a little bit because I think there was some miscommunication with Natty or something. So the ending was like a little like, what is happening? But it was fun to just see like a tag match and just have them on it. Like, I think that sometimes I wish that they had belts. So like these tag matches that they do all the time would feel like something. But I mean, the fact that at least we had two women's matches on the pay-per-view is better than nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Carmella and Natty won, and like Carmella won on SmackDown too. And like Carmella needs to be looking strong if she's going to cash in, even if she loses. She needs to look like a contender.
Absolutely. Yes. I totally agree.
Anyways, whatever. Who cares about anything? Because Asuka has officially challenged Charlotte.
Yes. I was so excited. I was watching it with my friend Andrew, and he watches enough that when I came over to his house for dinner a couple of nights ago, I was wearing my Naomi shirt, the Feel the Glow one, and he recognized it without seeing her name on the back. And I was like, oh, okay, so you're like a step above casual now, where you can like recognize wrestling merch without a person's name on it. All right. Andrew came over and we're watching, and we get to the end of this match, and we're talking about how Ruby did a great job, and I got out, I bet Asuka will challenge her for the title next. And then literally Asuka's music hit. And I was like, yes, I'm so excited. And it was like fun to watch it with Andrew. And he was like, I thought she was on Raw. I don't understand what's going on. And I was like, oh, you're literally their demographic. This is really exciting to see you react in real time to this. So that was fun too, to like get to watch it with somebody who's like, this is his first build to Mania, really. He's watched SummerSlam with me a couple times, but has never watched a Mania before. So I think this is the first year that he's like really into it and is like enjoying this build. So it's cool to like get to watch that journey as well. I just remember that. So it was kind of, it was fun to watch that, the like joy of a child in wrestling.
I know that we anticipated Asuka challenging Charlotte, but it just, I just was like focused on, I was excited to see this Ruby match. And like when Asuka's music hit, I felt like blindsided a little bit, even though I shouldn't have been. And it was just a good moment. And they're face off in the ring and like breathing really heavy. And like Charlotte looks scared, but also excited. And like it's just exciting. And I'm excited to have the build, but I'm wondering if Asuka after this match with Alexa is going to go over to SmackDown and build it, or I don't know. That seems a little, it was weird to me that Asuka showed up on Raw the night after.
Well, I feel like it kind of feels like Asuka's just going to be on both shows. Like it's only 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, there's a bunch of people that go back and forth between both shows too. It doesn't seem like weird that they would ask her to do that. So it feels like she might, because she's wrestling Alexa next week. And yeah, I guess then she would be on SmackDown next week as well to be with Charlotte. And then the week after that, maybe she'll stop being on Raw. I guess. But it, like, I honestly, I could see them keeping her on both all the way to Mania, and it wouldn't feel weird. Like, she's transitioning off. It's like when people are, like, Sasha was on NXT and Raw at the same time for, like, a couple of months, and it was just, you sometimes get that crossover transition. So I don't think it would be that weird.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It was just, it took me off guard a little bit. I'm really over all these men's music interrupting Charlotte's segments, though. Like, we had it with Bobby Roode, which kind of made sense because Bobby kind of is, you know, their partners, and he kind of, like, misdirected Ruby for a second. But, like, there's absolutely no reason whatsoever for Randy's music to interrupt the segment between Charlotte and Asuka. That was
fucked up. It was because Randy beat Bobby for the title, and so because Bobby was associated with Charlotte, that's why that happened. That's their logic.
Well, did it really, like, I get it now that you explained it to me, but I watched all of the product, and I watch all the product, and that, and I, like, produce shows. Like, I get what they're foreshadowing and stuff, but, like, that didn't reach me at all.
Oh,
that just
really?
Read okay. As Randy being a dick.
I mean, yeah, true. I think that was the intention, but yeah, I agree that it's, stop doing that.
Also, remember when I told you Randy was going to win, and you were
okay,
like,
"Okay, here's my logic at the time for this, which I did not articulate." So, I didn't think that being a grand champion, a potential grand champion, meant you were definitely going to win. So I thought with Randy, he might not win this one, and then would, like, win again later. So it didn't feel inevitable that people would win they're slotted to be a grand champion. So that was my logic with him, which, like, in hindsight, it makes sense that if Randy is actually going to, please fucking God, retire soon, then they should just get it out. Like, he should just be done, and they can be done with it. But it also feels weird because Seth is up to be a grand champion at WrestleMania, so is it inevitable that he's going to win the belt as well? Because now it's, like, a thing that people inevitably become grand champions when they try. So, like, they did it with Jericho, and then they did it with Roman, and then they did it with Dean, and then did it with Roman, and, like, and then they did it with Miz and with now Randy Orton. Like, it's just weird.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about this. Randy Orton has a belt. Who cares? It's going to be Randy versus Jinder and Bobby at WrestleMania. Who cares? I don't care at all.
Oh,
I only like Bobby Roode now when he's with Charlotte because I think they're funny together, and I like that she teaches him how to woo. I'm really over people trying to put them together as a couple because I don't. Charlotte herself did it, and I'm not a fan of that. And I don't like, we don't need Charlotte and Bobby as a couple. Like, Alexa and Braun works because it's, like, funny, and, like, the people who are married work, but, like, we don't need every, you know, exactly. Charlotte and Bobby can just be like, we like robes.
Yeah, we're just friends. Yeah, and they have, like, really good playful chemistry, but unless they are literally a couple real life, I don't want to see it. Like, it's that you can just be friends. It's okay. But WWE does seem determined to, like, latch them together. I was really disappointed when Beth Phoenix said her man, and Corey called her out on it, and she was like, oh, yeah, I guess it just slipped out. Like, oh.
Well, it's weird because Beth was scolding Corey Graves for doing it earlier.
Yeah.
And Ben did it. And that's why Corey Graves is a dick, so that's why he called her out on it.
Right, right.
Like, you were just saying it about me.
Like, yeah, exactly. So it felt like almost like she condoned it in a way. It was just, I don't like it. It's so stupid. Like, they don't need to be romantically linked. It's unnecessary.
Yeah, it's dumb. SmackDown ended with Sami and Kevin killing Shane McMahon.
Which he deserved.
Shane was making the funniest sound.
He sounded like he was really giving hurt, birth.
Yeah, I'm sure it actually really hurt because he, like, actually got thrown on something. You know, you can do things as safe as whatever, but, like, you can't fake gravity. But, like,
I hope that's the title of this episode, please.
That's a Paloma quote. She says that all the time. But the thing that made – have you ever seen that video of the grape stomping lady where she's, like, stomping the wine and then falls out and makes a crazy noise? That's the noise.
Yes. That news anchor. I just thought about that video in years.
Oh, I watch it all the time still because it still makes me laugh.
Oh, my God. You have to post it.
It's the funniest video. Me and Frankie used to watch it, like, I think we were in high school when it came out. Like, it's old. It, like, the video quality is bad. It is a terrible video, but it's – so funny.
It is so funny.
So Shane should steps down as commissioner, and Kevin and Sammy are kind of in a feud together, but they're in a feud with Shane, and like he steps down. Does that mean it's going to be Shane versus Kevin versus Sammy, or is it just going to be Kevin and Sam? I'm interested to see what happens.
I'm interested to see what happens as well. It's also strange that he says that he's taking an indefinite leave of absence. Like, what does that mean? Are you actually leaving? I've heard it's because he has some kind of injury, so I don't know if that's how much truth there is to that, but it seems probably likely because he is Shane McMahon
and yeah, does a bunch of jumps off of shit.
Yeah, exactly. He's treated his body like dirt for a long time, so it makes sense that it's not doing great. But I don't know. I no basis to this whatsoever. I just feel like he announced this match between Cammy. I feel like he's gonna wind up as their ref, and he's gonna fuck both of them over. Like, they don't have anything else to do with Shane McMahon, and you know that he wants a match, so he's got to do something. And if he's injured in a way that means he can't jump off of shit, like, maybe he could take some kind of crazy bump as a ref that it wouldn't be a huge risk. Like, there's not a cell for him to jump off of, so maybe they can do something with him as a ref that can work. Like, there's always ref shenanigans at some point, so it feels like they could do that with him. But if that's the case, then that means that they're definitely going to be on the main card. Like, they're not going to put Shane McMahon on the show. There's fucking no way. So if that's the case, I guess that's good. I would like, in that case, I want Shane to be involved, because that means they're guaranteed to be main card, and I want that for both of those guys. But it does, like, what else is Shane gonna, you know Shane's gonna be involved. Stephanie has a fucking match.
For sure. I have no idea. They can't not have Sammy and Kevin and Shane on WrestleMania. Like, something has to happen. Any other thoughts about wrestling this week?
I mean, we're on the road to WrestleMania. Things are fine. Things are going well. I'm invested in some of the matches already, which is nice.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't talk about how Ronda wasn't there, but apparently she was having, like, a health screening at WWE, so she was technically at work, so I'm not mad at her. I mean, I just think, like, that's a WWE's fault, not her fault. They made her go sign up for health testing, but then they also promoted her at being in the show. Like, that's not really her fault. Like,
yeah, I agree.
We can be mad at her about a lot of things, but that's not her fault.
Also, I will say, she did have a clever head. I mean, again, she's a trash human being, and I will always clarify with that. But she did have a really good quote earlier this week where someone asked her how likely it was that she would go back to UFC, and she said it was as likely as her going back to the Olympics for judo. I was like, oh, respect. Okay. So literally never. Legit. Okay, cool. So I did enjoy that. I was like, all right, if you're going to be a wrestler and you want to commit to this, like, I want you to not be horrible. And if you're willing to really commit and really do it, like, okay, I'll believe you that you're trying. You're still trash garbage, but at least you're trying. It's better than someone who comes in and does piss nothing, like Brock. Like, I'm at this point more excited to see Ronda than to see Brock, which is like, I feel gross saying that, but it's also true.
I told you last week I'd rather see Ronda than Brock. I'd rather see Ronda with no training than Brock. I fucking hate Brock Lesnar.
Ugh, he's just the goddamn worst.
So we have a question from a listener, Liam Tite. And the question is, do you think that my fellow Aussie Buddy Murphy will be in the cruiserweight division long, or will it be too hard for him to keep the weight off? I mean, he doesn't really have to keep the weight off, right?
No, like, he doesn't really. It's
Cedric Alexander does not weigh 205.
Well, they also
weigh 205.
I asked the question, and I don't remember who it was that responded to me about this, but someone told me that they did have a segment, it may have been on WWE.com, where they clarified that because Buddy Murphy had to cut weight, he has to weigh in every week, and that's because he had to cut weight that he now has to do that. So, like, there is an explanation for it, and it is different than everybody else, but I think that maybe that does indicate that at some point he's going to weigh out, and he's not going to he's gonna weigh over 205 and be moved out of that division. Like, if they're doing it every week, there's no way they're gonna continue doing that forever. So it'll either become a moot point where, again, like Cedric Alexander and Neville, LOL, do not weigh 205 pounds at all. Like, it'll either become it doesn't matter anymore that he's so much bigger, or they'll use it to weigh him out. I thought that's what they were going to do with Cedric. When they introduced him into the CWC, they made a big deal about how he caught all this weight, and then they, like, never addressed it again. So maybe they're just doing that storyline with Buddy Murphy now.
I think he works really well in 205. I don't think that, and they don't have a place for him anywhere else. I think he will be there for a while, and they might just, like, relegate the weigh-ins to, like, the YouTube channel or something, or just be like, he made weight. That's all they have to say on commentary. They don't have to actually do a weigh-in.
Yeah, that's totally true. Once people have accepted it as part of the kayfabe, you can just like mention it and people are like, oh, they mentioned it.
Right. So I think he'll be there for a while, and I want him to be there for a while. I think he'll get more opportunity. You know, the people who complain about 205 Live or have in the past, like, yeah, maybe it wasn't getting the time it deserved or the fan attention it deserves, but at least those people who like to wrestle, for the most part, they get time to wrestle and to do stuff that they would not get on the main roster.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
Or not main roster, but you know what I mean, on the other shows. So I hope Buddy Murphy stays on for a while because I think he deserves to get to wrestle.
Yeah, I totally agree. And like, he's a good looking dude who is a good wrestler, and like, they need Australians because they fired the only one on the main roster. So like, bring him on in. I'm into that. I think it's a good thing. Okay, we've got one more question too from Joe_crack. With many fans desiring the return of the women's tag titles, how would that work with the brand split? They seem to be against floating champions being on both shows. Will joint pay-per-views make that easier though?
What do you think?
I don't know. I feel like they might just add, I think they might just have two. They might just add a tag belt for each of them because they have a lot of women. They have so many women signed and they have nothing to do with any of them. And so I feel like they'll start grouping people together on NXT, but not have like an official tag division there yet for the women, perhaps, unless they decide to add one also. But it, I don't know. I think he makes an interesting point with the mixed pay-per-views going forward, because after WrestleMania, everyone's on both shows. So I like the idea of you only need to have really one division. It's just spread among two shows. Like, you can have a pretty deep tag division if it's everybody, but I don't know, maybe because it's the women, they'd be more open to it because it's innovative and they'll make history as the first belt to float between both brands or some bullshit. Like, I don't know. I feel like it is possible that they could float a women's belt, if only also just to make it different from the men's belt, which they like kind of want to do, but it's WWE. So like, God knows they'll just ignore everything. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure. Honestly, I have a lot of thoughts about it, and they're just so dumb. I don't know.
Well, I think with the pay-per-views coming together for the most part, I think it makes sense to introduce it on a show. Like, introduce it on the show that has the bigger roster, or maybe just say, like the Money in the Bank one technically floats. So I think having... Yeah. I think you could open it up. It could be, like, for NXT, too. Like, any female, like, tag team can go for the belt if they are, you know, can be present here, there, or whatever. You could do an open challenge for, like, whoever has the belt has an open challenge, and that open challenge, they can come from anywhere, you know? Like, I think they could be innovative with it. I don't think they need two belts.
I want the women to have two belts because I want them to have all of the things that the men have. That's, like, my instinct is that I want that. But I also like the idea of the women having a really innovative division that does something very different. And so, I don't know. I think I agree. I think that they don't necessarily need to have two belts. I think that if they're willing to commit to something innovative, which is kind of an ask of WWE, to be honest, that they could do something really cool.
I mean, first step, they have to decide to have one.
If it's a floating title, they could make it something really interesting and do like a trios, because they love to group three women together. So like, I think there's a lot of potential also, if they're going to be really innovative with it, to be like a floating three-person thing, so that it's not all the time women's tag matches too.
Well, I think that's all that we have for this week. You can find us on the internet. I'm at Stella_Cheeks.
I'm at Urgency.
You can find us at notyourdemographic.wordpress.com, which is now open. I guess we have to figure out what we're going to do with it.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Estella wrote a really good piece about WWE's decision to use Moolah that everybody should read. It was really good.
Oh, well, thank you. You can also read my article about Laura Van Ness and Allie in the Impact title if you want to peruse the shit that I've been writing for grad school. You can find us at Not Your Demo Pod on Twitter. So I want everybody to do this. I know a lot of you follow me and a lot of you follow Aaron, but if everybody could take some time this week and follow the official podcast Twitter, I would really appreciate it, because we've held off for it for a long time. And now I'm like, well, I know we have these listeners and I just want them to follow the official one now too. So please just do that for my brain, my like selfish, I just want more followers on the podcast. what is it? Follow Friday at Do La- Help me, you guys. Help me not feel insecure about our Not Your Demographic Twitter.
It's true. We did put it off for a super long time, too. Right.
You can email us at notyourdemo@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes and rate, review, and subscribe. And find us on Kate's side. Look, we did it all.
You did it all. That was impressive. We were like, this is it. We're done.
Well, it's, you know, normally we can take cues. Like, I'm going to say this one. And then with the eyes, be like, I can't see you. Because right. When we do Google Hangouts, we just don't do the video. So our audio is better.
Yeah, that's true. I've just been staring at a pulsating picture of you, which is, I'm like making eye contact with it, even though I know you can't see me.
It's an old picture, too.
I know. Mine is like 7 years old. It is so old. I'm bald in that picture.
All right. We got two words for you.
Pre-mode.
Dumb. All right. Bye.
All right. Pre-mode. Bye.